Madonna is in hot water again for ruining yet another celebrity tribute at the MTV Video Music Awards. Adorned in jewelry from her children's home country of Malawi, Madonna presented the Video of the Year Award, and much like her tribute to Prince years back, turned it into a story about herself. The tribute quickly went off the rails as Madonna told the audience how Aretha Franklin's song, Natural Woman, spared her from being mistaken for a prostitute living above a crack house in New York City.
Today, the hilarious Matt Brown joins us to take a look at the life and music of the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. Her infamous feuds with Patti LaBelle and Dionne Warwick, her insistence on being paid in cold hard cash, and why she didn't leave a will.
Plus, designer Luke Song talks about Aretha's iconic Obama inauguration hat.
My hubby, Fausto Fernos, makes his debut as a reality TV bear on Camp Wanakiki.
And it's the end of an era. Our car that drove hundreds of entertainers, including some of the world's best-known drag queens, has died in a small town in Canada. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Become a member and support this show at feastoffun.com/plus.
If you really, really notice, like, old black people and old Jewish people look and talk exactly the same.
Carole King is a lot closer to Aretha Franklin than most people realize.
Oh, yeah.
She wrote so many of her songs.
It's just Carole was, like, a better piano player than, like, a pure voice. She sang well, but not like Aretha.
I'd rather listen to Aretha Franklin, even, you know, like, order Pizza Hut than my own voice. You know what I'm
saying? Come on, baby, and deliver me. Yeah, I remember.
All right, folks, we live in a post-Aretha Franklin world. The Queen of Soul, long live the Queen. She is passed on to a higher plane of consciousness.
She wanted to take you higher, and now she has.
And now she lives in her music and in her heart. So our guest today is comedian Matt Brown, who is now the new Queen of Twinks.
Soul. I would rather be the Queen of Soul than the Queen of Twinks. Because Queen of Soul, you get to kind of pretend you're a rock star. Queen of Twinks, I don't need that many people with, like, bleach tips following me around. I don't need it.
Give us your best Natural Woman.
Honey, that's not the song. I play You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman every time I bottom. That's the song. That's the song.
Were you expecting Madonna to start singing Natural Woman at the VMAs? I was.
You were?
Yeah.
You had that play where you're like, Madonna's gonna come, I know exactly what she's gonna sing. You really had that in your head?
I would be a sex worker living in Detroit, Michigan, or New York City, if it wasn't for the... I'm trying to do a good Madonna impersonation without sounding British.
Well, but she doesn't worry about not sounding British, so I don't think you should either. I think you should embrace it. I think you should lean in.
So she was at the VMAs, and I guess people are saying that Madonna ruined yet another celebrity tribute by making it all about herself. Mm-hmm. And I was into it. I bought it. I liked it until the second half when she just stopped talking about Aretha Franklin. It was all about herself.
Before we get into the analysis of this one, what other celebrity tributes has Madonna ruined?
Prince.
Okay, because I did not see that one.
She dressed up. It was like she was a cross between, like, Mae West, Elvis Presley.
Mae West with her ass cheeks.
Yeah.
She's like, ooh. Purple rain.
She had, like, a scepter and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, this is what it sounds like when doves cry.
Your Mae West is everything.
Well, you would have thought she would have had, like, a more personal, you know, like, did she ever meet Aretha? Did she ever talk to Aretha?
Did she ever listen to one of her songs?
You know, just, exactly. You know. Well, she said she sang You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman for an audition. She did. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, and that was it. She's like, I did her for an audition, and that made me who I am today.
Well, you know, I just find that so funny that, like, Madonna, who doesn't typically sing, required a song, you know, sang a song that requires you to, like, actually sing well, and it, like, got her somewhere. Like, I'm so confused. Like, if she shows them that she has the capacity to sing, why hasn't she done it in 32 years? That is my question. That is my question.
I think Madonna can sing just fine, and I would enjoy listening to Madonna do an Aretha Franklin cover of a Carole King song.
Okay, yeah, one that's, like, got a good four-note range and just really talky.
Well, big talker. Let's see you do a natural woman right now.
Shit. Shit.
He's not also a billionaire. Looking pop out star.
Upon. How does that go? Looking on the morning rain.
Looking out on the morning rain. I don't remember you the rest go, of the words.
I used to feel someone inspired.
Honey, we ain't doing like Read Me Helen Keller karaoke right now. We're not going to do that. What are your favorite Aretha Franklin songs?
If you are, we're like, not done with Madonna
gay.
Yet.
Yeah. If you're actually gay.
Just like this podcast about Aretha Franklin, it's all about Madonna.
Yes, yes. It never leaves.
Well, we just drove through Detroit, so we thought, you know, we've got Madonna on the brain.
Well, the only movie that Aretha Franklin was ever in was The Blues Brothers, which really? She practically played herself as a waitress.
As a waitress. I guess she wasn't too keen on the outfit that she had to wear.
Yeah, it was too...
She
was in two films.
Yes, she was in two of them.
And the remake of The Blues Brothers. Yeah.
Well, like, can you blame her for not liking the outfit? She literally looked like Mamie from Gone with the Wind. like it was just awful, the apron and it was mousy. And then that fried red wig that they just ruined her whole day with. Like,
I guess in the second movie they put her in a Chanel suit and she was much more happy with
exactly,
that.
Exactly, because that is what the queen... Lady Gina, that's what the queen deserves. Mm-hmm.
Well, the director said, too, is like when they did the thing, she had to lip sync that part. And it was difficult because, you know, she sings her style is she's going to sing it whatever way she's going to sing it. And it's not always going to be the same. But she actually played the piano for it, too. And that scene when they recorded it, she was like, no, I'm just going to sing it and do the piano all by myself.
Which, like, that's how those old school broads are. Mm-hmm. Like, anyone who is, like, actually, like, a good, talented singer from the 60s and 70s, none of them can lip sync. Aretha couldn't do it. Barbara Streisand is the shittiest lip syncer in ever. Tina Turner couldn't do it. They sang live. Mm.
It's hard, you know, as a musician myself and as a lip syncing drag queen.
Yeah.
Those are two different muscles.
Mm. And a beautiful woman. You have to get all your credits on that.
Yes, of course. you know, my episode of Camp Wanakiki is up.
Oh, fabulous.
Squirrel Friends.
Ooh,
it's
the best episode yet.
It is. You don't need even to watch the rest of the series. Yeah. Just skip to the middle where I show up as a bear.
There will be timestamps on feastofun.com so you can watch Fausto and only Fausto.
And I feel like it's sort of like, you know, putting the funniest parts in it together and just sticking up on social media.
But. And I was invited to be in the series too, but I was a little too busy filming my own reality TV show. Off for Norga, which premieres this Monday, August 27th.
And for Plus subscribers, we're gonna get some action. So go to feastoffun.com/plus.
And sign up today,
honey.
You get to see me go down on a big giant sausage.
And I'm posting
hunky guy from the Navy.
If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will.
I know, right?
And I'm posting a lot of behind the scenes videos and photos of Camp Wanakiki as well. Aww. So a lot of good stuff coming to the Feast of Fun Plus subscribers.
How was your experience on Camp Wanakiki?
I want to rename it. Help me, I'm a drag queen. Get me out of here.
You actually came up with the name Wanakiki, didn't you?
I did. Well, they were initially going to call it Camp Drag. That show has a lot of me in it, not just because I was masturbating in the cabins when they weren't looking.
It's more than just a DNA sample.
It is.
It's an actual contribution.
But I felt like, you know, they wanted to call it Camp Drag, and I was like, and they came up with Vivacious is like, Shanita and all this stuff, and I was like, you know, Wanakiki.
That's the name of all her different heads.
All her heads. And I was like, it sounds like a Native American summer camp kind of words, those drag words do.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe like, you know, something kiki, Wanakiki would be a good
What I'm hearing thing. From you is like that you want a creative consultant credit and a check. That's what I'm hearing.
They're not giving me
That's
any.
What I'm hearing. Okay.
But just for the record, they wanted to call it Camp Drag. They came up with the name for the camp, Camp Wanakiki. And I said to them, that's the name of your show. It's Camp Wanakiki. It's not Camp Drag. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's happening. And I also encouraged them to give the show each episode a title. So it looks better, you know. So Squirrel Friends is this episode. This is the first time they had a outside judge come in, and so I wrote down a lot and said a lot that they didn't use. I'm going to actually put that in Feast of Fun Plus content. what was actually said and done, because there were some really great moments that didn't make it onto the air.
They didn't understand the full scope of your genius, and so you've given it to your fans.
The genius of the drag queens.
Oh, it's not just you. It's not just you.
No. Because there's a lot of stuff that happened that you don't get to see.
Okay.
And so I took lots of notes and videos and photos of it, and I'm going to be sharing it with you guys.
Fabulous.
So you get all the, you know, Camp Wanakiki tea. And so the challenge there was to basically have the queens make pudgy pies, or they call them hobo pies, which is two pieces of bread stuffed with, like, cheese or meat or, you know, dessert stuff, s'mores, and then it's grilled in a campfire. It's surprisingly good.
Okay, because that is not
sandwich.
It's not diet food. We'll put it that way.
What do you like to eat that's diet food?
Okay, I actually...
Celery and carrot sticks?
I'm a freak. I actually really love a salad. I will eat...
What?
Oh, yeah. I will just eat an entire thing of spinach like an idiot. I love... Like, literally, like, my salad I ate for lunch is, like, out of a mixing bowl. I'm a freak. I love greens.
I'm sorry. We just got so caught up in all our projects, we forgot to talk about Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, and we got distracted by like vegetables.
And did you like Madonna's outfit?
I want to know what Viking tribe she thinks she's a part of. Like, I want to know who she's liberating.
Well,
like,
Foster said it was Malawi.
It's her stuff from Malawi. She bought it at the airport gift shop.
Oh, yeah, because I forgot she's a strong black woman now that she's got one of the kids.
She has three kids from Malawi.
She does now? Yeah. There are more, not just David?
I think there's three.
Okay, because I just remember her.
Maybe I lost count.
Because I just remember her posting the Instagram picture of her and David saying chilling with my n-word, and I pieced out after that. I stopped keeping updates on her, and the only reason I didn't say it is because I don't say the n-word around white people. It's just not my vibe.
Madonna's children is, of course, Lourdes, and then there's Rocco, David, Banda Mwale Chicone, Richie, Mercy James, and then there's Asteri and Stell. There's six kids.
Why do all these, and she's not the only one, why do like all these stars like start buying children when they're in their 50s and bored and lonely? Like, can't you find anything else to do other than like give some kids a personality disorder?
I think it's great that these kids who are orphans probably...
Well,
get to have dissociative personality disorder in their 30s because their mom was Madonna and probably stared at pictures of herself all day when she wasn't on tour.
Hold on, Matt. That's not fair, because it's like these kids are born into wealth with Madonna being adopted by Madonna. They're going to have access to some really great schools and
education and lots of therapy
and lots of
the best drugs in the world.
Oh, God bless it.
You know, she's living in Portugal now and they've decriminalized all drugs.
Oh, okay. Because
they get free base opium there.
If your mother is Madonna, you do need to have mainlining available. So, like, okay. If little David and Lourdes can have black tar heroin, okay, they're fine. They're fine.
It all evens out. The black.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Madonna's eldest kid, Lourdes, went to the University of Michigan, and we heard that.
Did she ever get her eyebrows waxed? Can we get an update on
maybe
that?
Maybe some threading. I don't know.
Okay.
But I guess people say that she was just stoned all the time.
I'm sure. You know? I am sure. Because when you think about it, she's literally probably bought every material thing she wanted by the time she was 12. So, I mean, you just got to become a crackhead after that. Like, there's no more stimulus left. None.
So, would you be a sex worker if it wasn't for Aretha Franklin's music?
I feel like I'm a sex worker because of Aretha Franklin's music. Yeah.
Respect. Put the money on the table.
Exactly.
Pay me.
Or,
do the right thing for the woman.
Or when his stroke game's weak, I play Think, What You're Trying to Do to Me, just to get him to focus back on the game. Because, you know, I mean, I came here on the freeway of Love in a Pink Cadillac. Like, there's just a lot going on.
You know, Burt Bacharach wrote the song... I say a little prayer for you.
Yeah, Dionne Warwick sang it.
Dionne Warwick sang it, released it in 1967. And I don't know how Aretha Franklin convinced... Like,
she jumped right on.
Jumped like one year later, released her version. And then, you know, so this is the confusing thing. Like, I was listening to it, and I was like, which is the version I'm familiar with?
Mm-hmm.
And they're almost identical.
The answer is both. Because they just were both incredibly popular each.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want to know how she convinced them? She walked right into Atlantic Records and told Jerry Wexler, I'm better than her. That's exactly what she did. Because, you know, Aretha never gave a fuck in her whole life. Not for 2 seconds.
She did have some, like, some dissy moments to some of the other divas.
I think
Patti LaBelle.
Aretha Franklin, she feels about herself the way I feel about myself. Okay. I just bond with her over that limitless confidence and that bitch, I can do anything. Like, she just didn't care. Never did. She's so arrogant and it was so much fun to watch.
Aretha Franklin is the kind of person that in the middle of the third, this is her third inauguration since she's singing for President Obama, first African American president.
In case anyone forgot,
you know,
in case anybody forgot,
it's an important moment in history. She's singing, you know, on stage, the world is watching and somebody's bucking the shit out of her. So she's singing and she just stops and goes, shut up. And then keeps going.
Well, okay. Because that was not even the most important part of that, because the beginning of that song was actually the mark. Because if you guys remember, her phrasing for that was my cunt. Treatise. She breathed in the middle of the word country and said cunt on live TV. And everyone threw a fit.
I missed that one at all.
Yes, yes, yes. And then she told the guy to shut up in the middle of it, but her hat and her wig were straight the whole time. And that's what matters.
So, People Magazine just recently interviewed the designer of that famous hat.
What was her name?
Luke Song.
Yes.
Mr. Song. From Mr. Song Millinery from Detroit, Michigan. And Aretha Franklin has been a lifelong customer of his.
Yeah, for like 20 years.
She loves hats.
And so she brought in the coat and says, I'm going to be wearing this for the inauguration. And she wanted to be warm because it was going to be outdoors. And in, I think, what, January?
They inaugurate the president on January 20th every time. Yeah.
So on that alone, he made three different designs for her, and she chose the one and the most popular and viral, and his sales of that hat skyrocketed. For Mark's birthday,
which was February 2nd.
He went to an arts and crafts store and bought some gray construction paper.
And some silver glitter.
And you said to me.
And I made some. I said, Fausto, I'm going to make some party hats for everybody. Because my birthday was on a Monday.
Okay, you know? So you couldn't do anything big.
So I couldn't do anything big. But so I said, let's just all go to Big Chick's and we'll have some dollar
burgers.
It's
a gay bar in Chicago.
It's a gay bar in town. And they have dollar burgers on Mondays. And so I was just like, let's do that. And so I made the party hats. And like, Fausto's like, you can't make those hats. It'll be impossible. I'm just like,
Because he wanted to make like 20 of them to hand out to people.
Yeah.
And I was like, how are you possibly going to make a hat, a three-dimensional shape, out of just a few pieces of construction paper? And it was like Cinderella. It was like, you know, I guess the one who...
So you're saying the mice in the apartment helped him?
Yeah.
He took a pile of straw and spun it into gold and was viral gold. It was one of the most shared photos that we had on the internet for a while.
And people just loved it. People that weren't even part of the party, they're like, oh my God, let me wear one. People taking photos left and right.
Because you just feel better about yourself when you've got a hat like that on.
You know?
Like, nothing can go wrong.
And, you know, birthday hats are cute, but it's like, you know, you get them at the store and they're just kind of like boring, but when you make your own birthday hats, it's just, it's infinitely more exciting.
That's why women who wear wigs have so much confidence, because it's like a birthday hat all day long.
Oh, yeah, it's
like
a party hat.
Yeah, it's just like you fasten that shit and you can go.
So Aretha Franklin, I guess, had a sort of, was frenemies with a lot of these, and certainly her most famous rivalry was with Patti LaBelle.
She had some problems. She had some problems with the sister.
Why did Aretha Franklin refuse to shake Patti LaBelle's hand and one of her last, you know, major appearances at the White House?
Well, okay, for starters, everyone should go watch that video, if not for the diss, because Aretha actually sang her tits off at that.
Yes.
She sang Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. Like, she's 72 years old, belt and E's and F's, okay? She never cared, okay? She had the voice till the end.
And didn't Patti LaBelle sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow wearing an all-green Emerald City outfit?
Looking like the villain of a Batman movie.
Yeah.
With that green cape. And then she does, like, the arm motions with the fly away lyric for Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I really thought the cape might just take her.
Why that happened? That was kind of, you know, unbecoming of a queen of
soul.
And Patti said it in an interview when Aretha wouldn't shake her hand. She goes, I don't know who that woman, She was wearing some green dress or something like that. Mm-hmm. She pretended like in an interview that was not her.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know her. Yeah. It's all the way back to I don't know her. I just think that Aretha probably, she didn't feel like Patti LaBelle was competition. I probably thought she was like, you will always be second to me. Like, I feel like that was really the vibe that Aretha had towards Patty. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, I'll be nice to you when I feel like being nice to you. I'm the queen, bitch. I really think that's how Aretha felt about it.
Well, they probably were in competition for a lot of gigs, or that, you know, they went to her and said, hey, listen, we'll give you $50,000. She's just like, I'm not going to do it for $50,000. I'll want $100,000. And so then they went to Patti LaBelle, and Patti's like, I'll do it for $45,000. So she probably underbid her on a lot of stuff.
The other thing is a
slice of sweet potato pie.
Oh, yes. Because Patti will, like, bake you a pie and be like, I'll undercut the hoe. That's what she'll do. She'll come in with a hot pie and an undercut contract.
Her pies are good.
I don't know about all that. I've never had one.
We made her pie recipe for Christmas one time. It's not bad.
It was all right? Okay.
Well, she does this thing of she pre-cooks the crust and puts brown sugar on it.
Okay. And I can feel that.
It felt burnt. Okay. And maybe that's just like my, you know, white person Latino.
I blame your whiteness. Right? I blame it.
It's like I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is a little charred, but people might like that. You know, burnt to a crisp thing.
It's a texture thing. Everyone's different.
Are you a fan of sweet potato pies?
Not particularly. Okay. I would much rather have like a pumpkin or an apple situation.
So that's the white part of you still.
Yeah.
I think the sweet potato pie is a better tasting pie than a pumpkin pie, for sure.
We're going to say it here. Without a doubt. Nutritionally, flavor-wise, on every angle, sweet potato wins over pumpkin. Mm-hmm.
I would much rather just have, like, sweet potatoes with, like, brown sugar and marshmallows. Like,
That's good, too.
Yeah, that's more my situation.
But why was Aretha Franklin so nasty?
The other reason.
Mean, cold, rude,
don't
heartless.
Don't talk evil of the dead. Reason. Just be like, they had a...
The other reason that I think they could have had an issue.
Why was she so mean to poor Aretha? To Patty.
If you look at the chronology of their careers, Patty started going up when Aretha started going down. Because, like...
She had a new attitude.
Because she had a new attitude and a new nose. And yes. Because what happened was Aretha was the main girl for the 60s and the 70s. Mm-hmm. She like won most of her Grammys during that period. She won like 18 in a row for like best female R&B album. And then like in the 80s, Patti LaBelle got a nose job and went solo. And when she got her nose job, she started singing high notes a lot better and a lot easier. And her voice changed because that's can't happen with a nose job. So she started singing like an animal, like the way we know her now. Mm-hmm. And Aretha just kind of went down. She had one or two good albums in the 80s. Mm-hmm. She had that George Michael duet. Mm-hmm. But basically,
Freeway of Love, Zoom and Who, that kind of stuff.
But basically,
On My Own.
After about like 84, Homegirl was tired. But then Patti was like on the up and up for 80s and 90s because she had the new nose and the high notes.
So Patti LaBelle ruled the 80s and Aretha Franklin didn't like that.
So probably. New attitude is about the nose job? I didn't realize she had a nose job.
Oh, yeah. No, if you look at pictures of Patti LaBelle, she's gone through about two or three of them. But she had a better surgeon than all the Jacksons, and she has less money than them. So, LaToya, Janet, none of you have any excuses.
Oh, wow.
Because Janet looks
like... Yeah, if you just Google Patti LaBelle nose job, you can see the huge difference.
Because Janet's looks awful. Janet Jackson looks like Genghis Khan now. It is awful.
What do you think of her new video? Did you see it?
I didn't see it, but I did see her eye lift and her nose job, and I'm so happy that she does nails now. Like, I really can't handle it.
In one interview, Aretha Franklin was asked, does she ever regret not flying in airplanes because it limited her ability to make high-paying gigs, especially in Europe.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I'm not limited. I can drive anywhere. I can be anywhere.
That bus goes everywhere.
I love that bus. Well, I mean, I'm sure she went to like Canada and Mexico, and I'm sure on that bus. But like in Europe, they just pay better for like music, and they have like all those like giant outdoor festivals and stuff where they have like 50,000 people. Mm. Like I'm sure that's got to be every bit of like $300,000 or $400,000.
Would she never fly, or would she fly on occasion? Like, could she have flown to Europe?
She may have boated it, but she didn't fly.
She wasn't getting on no boat. That takes a week. Come on.
She could do a boat cruise.
Come on. She would finish the carton of cigarettes before the boat was off the dock. Mm. She would have that fucked up.
Why did Aretha Franklin do Pizza Hut ads in the 80s? There was rumors that she was like hitting hard times financially.
I never heard about that. I just think that she really liked pizza. I really think that's what it all came down to. Mama likes to eat. I can imagine, though, because most people do have, like, most famous people do have money management issues or, like, someone stealing from them. Mm-hmm. I know she got divorced twice, and that'll take your money in a heartbeat.
Mm. She left $80 million and no will.
$80 million.
The prince left no will either.
But his death was sudden, and Aretha Franklin's certainly health was deteriorating over the
years.
If
you're 57, I wouldn't expect you to have a will because you're still young and relatively healthy at most cases.
Yeah, but if you have tens of millions of dollars, you want some kind of will, don't you?
Well, I mean, if you think about Prince, he didn't have any kids, and like he was divorced. So, I mean, where's it going
to
go? Like, pay off the debt, sell the house, like...
I think it went to her sister.
Yeah. So I guess the family is like fighting over it.
When your family's that small, I mean, it kind of almost makes sense not to.
But there's, you know, there might be charities you want to take care of, endowments, all those kinds of things. Estate planning.
Oh, nonsense. Why do you think everybody's a good person? Stop it.
There's rumors that Aretha Franklin's children weren't really her children.
What?
There are rumors about parentage. Of some of these children. Because, like, the last two, because she has four.
Okay.
She's got four. The younger two are from her husband's, because she was, like, married as an adult. But she had two kids when she's a teenager. Like, when she was, like, 13 and when she was, like, 15. And there are some rumors floating around the internet that allegedly, possibly, her father is the father of those two kids.
Oh, that's a terrible thing.
Isn't it a terrible rumor? But her first son has special needs, and that's what happens when incest. So, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe, allegedly, possibly. And so, like, I don't know. Anything's possible.
The first time we heard about Aretha Franklin being insisting and being paid in cash was Producer Entertainment's David Charpentier, who manages most of the world's famous drag queens, was here on the show saying that the most eccentric writer, and you can listen to that on Feast of Fun's archives, feastoffun.com/plus. The weirdest celebrity writers ever, and Aretha Franklin insisted on being paid in cash, which you think it would be like a giant suitcase of money, but it was in $100 bills, and she would put it in her purse, and that's why you always see Aretha Franklin coming out with her purse, putting it on top of the piano so where she could see it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Stay there. $25,000.
The first $25,000 in cash, and then you can send me a check. Mm-hmm. Because, like, what if she wants to buy something on the way home? Like, think about it.
Does she sign a receipt for that cash? Like, how does that transaction go by? Like, she also could say, like, I didn't get my money.
Maybe that was the whole point. Maybe she was trying to get 50. I had actually heard that before because I had heard a podcast where Mario Cantone, the famous, like, legend, iconic gay comedian, he performed at a birthday party of hers. And he said, she paid me the way she likes to get paid, in cash. Oh. And she overpaid him, too, because she's a nice lady. I guess she likes to tip.
Aww.
But, yeah, no.
That's good.
Well, I think, you know, there's certain people that, you know, especially, you know, in many ways, she grew up outside the system, being a black woman in America. So she probably was just maybe fearful of banks. So she's also said, like, she's seen, you know, artists get ripped off completely. Like, they're like, you'll get the check.
You
she's
never
like,
get the check.
I want to make sure at least I get my $25,000.
And I mean, you guys know, as like people who have like made living as freelancers, you might not get paid for 4 months after the job. Like, you need your money. Mm-hmm. She wanted paid.
Tell the man with the money to come here and pay me.
Exactly. Tell the white man with a suitcase. Tell the 75-year-old dude named Ted that makes all the decisions. Tell him I need money now. Tell him I need it. Call JG.
But I just love it. She's like, I won't go out on the stage unless I have it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we appreciate about Aretha Franklin, besides her great music, was fact that she was a strong woman who, you know, in a world where a lot of people and a lot of women are told to be nice, to, you know, follow the rules.
She did not.
She definitely was beat her own.
She did it on her own terms.
Yeah.
And
does that mean that she, as a person who suffered, was she a happy person?
I don't think she was a happy person at all. Yeah. What I wanted to get back to the cash point.
Sure, sure.
Is how eccentric a claim it was, because if anybody else did that, it wouldn't happen. Because, like, I went to go see the Whitney Houston documentary a couple weeks ago, A lot of times
that shook me to the core.
Oh yeah, that shook me.
I had to throw out my crack pipe after that.
That's what it took for you to quit. That's what it took for you to quit.
I was like, no more. This for Wendy.
Finally, it's 6 years after she's dead. But like Bobby Brown would be like, no, she's not getting on stage till the promoter comes here with cash. And then there would be no concert because no promoter's going to do that.
Yeah.
But they did it for Aretha. Mm-hmm, yeah. If they won't do it for Whitney Houston, but they will do it for Aretha Franklin, what does that tell you about who this woman is? I think that's fascinating.
So what soul divas are we left with now? Celine Dion, Mariah Carey.
Celine Dion!
You remember when she and Aretha
soul
Franklin
diva?
Were singing at VH1 Divas Live, and Aretha Franklin, they were singing Natural Women as the finale,
mm-hmm.
and Aretha Franklin was like, you're not singing it right. So she just started singing over her part.
She sang over Celine Dion, which was so stupid because she should have been singing over Shania Twain, who sounded like shit. That's who she should have been singing over in that song. Because Celine's fine. Queen of Soul, no. Soul Queen, not even. Soul genre, not even. But she sounded all right. Shania?
Ugh.
That Eileen needs to stay in Canada. I don't like Shania Twain.
What about, you said you have a very soft spot for Paula Abdul.
I have a very soft spot for Paula Abdul because I love anyone who's not afraid to be a mess in public. I love that. It's brave
she
and courageous.
She said that she was on painkillers and not drunk when she's on American Idol. And
yeah, that's apparently what was in her her Coca-Cola sponsored glass, crushed up Vicodin, I guess.
Did you like my tribute to Paul Abdul in Camp Wanakiki with my?
I supported it.
They were like, oh, we're just so, thank you so much for reading it. And I says, I'm just here for the free drinks.
Because that's why apparently she
quit
touring.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Those Coca-Cola glasses that American Idol judges have, you know they're just full of vodka and lemonade.
Well, could you imagine listening to those auditions for 13 hours a day?
That's
J-Lo
rough.
Needs tequila with a straw. She does. She really does.
My sippy cup. Where's my go-go juice?
Well, you know, that's what Joan Rivers used to do on Fashion Police. She would have a Starbucks cup that looks like a normal cup of coffee, and she'd have white wine in it at like 7 a.m. because this was too
Joan
early.
Joan was a drinker?
Oh,
a
yes.
A day drinker.
Oh, yes. She did. Yeah. Anyone to tell you she had white wine in that Starbucks cup?
You know, I try to brag to being this lush, but it's like,
no, you're a lightweight.
One or two drinks, and I'm like,
I'm the same way. I can't drink either. I smoke more weed than anybody, but I can't drink for shit.
Well, the Chicago comedy scene has always been notorious for having, like, you know, cocaine. It was their fuel drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that still you get that vibe?
That's
for Ben,
still or? Very much the vibe, but I don't mess with it because, like, I grew up on the flip side of that. Like, I know what a crack den looks like. I know what that looks like when it doesn't work well.
You have a rebel heart?
I ain't selling her CDs. She has her Grammy. She doesn't need me. Like, I don't know. I know what that looks like when it goes wrong, so I'll just let you all crowd around each other in a bathroom stall. I'm good. Like,
is it like a thing? When I was in art school, all the kids would go outside and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like somehow it held me back socially that I didn't smoke. Do you feel like it's kind of holding you back socially in the comedy scene because you're not snorting cocaine
probably,
in the bathroom with Bill Cruz?
Probably because I'm not like all real friendly and sweet and like want to snort coke and like be like best friendy. Like, I don't know. I just, I wouldn't want to bond with someone over being hyper and excited like that.
Because
everyone
Bianca
already
Del
thinks
Rio,
I'm on coke, so I talk fast.
Bianca Del Rio with Lady Bunny says, it was a crack doesn't make you
skinny, it makes you eat faster. Because sure. You know Bunny knows her way around a line.
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, you know a lot of, like, you think it's going to kill your appetite. And if you drink, like, coca leaf tea, that will kill your appetite. But if you're doing a bunch of blow, it's just wrecking your body.
Well, I mean, people love to eat when they're drunk. Why wouldn't you want to eat when you're on coke?
Yeah.
I don't know. If I don't want to eat, you need to smoke cigarettes if you're trying to not eat.
Yeah. Well, it's the coffee. Like, if you
true.
Drink a lot of coffee, it kills your appetite.
Definitely.
And ballet dancers do the coffee and the cigarette thing.
I'm a ballet dancer. I didn't
you
know
are.
That. Oh, my God. I had no idea. I should audition somewhere.
What are your lungs like?
Shallow. There is not. That deep breath hasn't taken place here in years.
Is that your fitness? Like, can you do bar work and stuff?
Oh, fuck no. I can't dance at all.
But
oh,
that,
my
you
God,
have a
no.
background in ballet?
No. I mean, I'm a ballet dancer because all I do is drink coffee and smoke cigarettes.
Oh.
That's apparently I'm living the lifestyle. No. I can't dance at all. It's a sin. I grew up Southern Baptist. I have two left feet.
You're not allowed to, you weren't allowed to dance in your church?
No, there was none of that.
They tied you to the chair.
Yeah, no. But it was no problem being gay because they're like, don't share your sexual desires with women. No problem. Like, it was not an issue. It was not an issue.
Were you ever, like, sort of challenged on your homosexuality or...
No, because the weird thing was that identity. Church that I grew up in was that there were so few young people and so few kids. They were just so happy that I enjoyed being there and that, like, I was having a good time because I loved growing up as a religious kid.
You singing in the chorus?
I did not sing in the chorus, but because I was too young at that point, because I kind of stopped going once puberty hit because... You know, I could make sense of it. And, I really loved it as a kid. Loved every second of it. I wanted to be a minister till I was like 11 or 12.
Yeah, gay men always like to boss other people around in the pulpit.
Yes.
You know, it's like that Vatican's like full of gay guys.
I wonder why.
You know,
they get to wear white dresses and they don't have to marry anybody.
You know, the ones that are not gay, they're the child molesters.
Oh, yeah, totally. Because you know? Gay priests have boyfriends.
Yeah.
The gay priests just like go to the bar dressed in a button up instead of the habit or whatever you call it. And they're fine.
Yeah, there was one Vatican priest that got into trouble, I guess, because he was like hiring sex workers
and we took a trip to Canada and visited my family in Erie, Pennsylvania beforehand. Mm-hmm. And the Diocese of Erie had recently released a list of priests mm-hmm. who had been accused of, you know, molesting kids. And then the Archdiocese of Pittsburgh did the same. And I think Philadelphia did the same. And the Attorney General of Pennsylvania came out and had like a press release mm-hmm. and released this whole report and is mad as hell because they figured that the Catholic Church was in collusion with a lot of these police officers mm-hmm. to suppress all this stuff until the statute of limitations ran out. And he was just like, he was fuming mad. I was seeing him on the television set. It made my day.
Mm-hmm. And it damn well should. Because I feel like as gay people, we fucking love to watch other people get in trouble when they fuck up. Because, like, no one ever got in trouble for bullying us in school or whatever. So it's like, I want Paul Manafort to go to prison now. Like,
honey, it's raining.
We love it.
Yeah, Omarosa is the Azalea Banks of politics.
And it's like, I wish it could have been someone that like wasn't literally Satan's girlfriend. Like, I wish like Omarosa was like a cool person I could mm-hmm. like, and she was bringing him down, mm-hmm. but her bringing him down somehow.
She's got receipts. She's got time stamps.
Black woman. I'm not tone policing a black woman because I love a loud, angry black woman. Mm-hmm. We will talk about that. When I have like sex with a woman once every 2 years, that's my type. But, anyway.
Oh, because you identify as bi?
I don't identify as bi, but like if you give me three drinks and I'm feeling social, I'll eat your pussy.
Quite a few gay men that like to eat out women.
Yeah.
You don't have to get it out for it.
Exactly. It's why the straight guys who do gay porn bottom, because you don't need a hard dick. You can just hang out. You can just hang out with your Starbucks.
Are you saying Jake, the bodybuilder Jake Burton, is gay secretly?
I think
he was a top.
He
in his porn.
He was enjoying himself. Yeah. Well, but they're all on Cialis and like Viagra and Greenleaf tea and like whatever else to get their dick hard.
Injection, which makes your dick hard no matter what.
Which I don't believe in. Which, what? Like, doing all that shit. Like, putting all that in your body.
Well, listen, if you want an erection for porn, we have a guest, Billy Santoro, who says, like, that's the way to go because it doesn't give you the flushing like Viagra does.
Okay.
Because if you do Viagra Cialis, you still have to be turned on with this other stuff. You don't even have to be into the dude. You're still like, oh, yeah, this is so hot. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, our car...
You can stick your dick in a can of Play-Doh.
I have a Viagra story about our car.
Okay.
In the early days that we had this car, this Honda Accord, it would break down and I would take it to the dealership here and they would give me a ride to work. And the guy who would drive me to work, I guess he picked up that I was gay, mm-hmm. and he would not shut up talking about his dick. And I would say he's probably, you know, he was a senior, older African-American gentleman mm-hmm. who's like, I went to the doctor and they shot some stuff on my dick and got it so hard. I was like, I could fuck a woman with that. I could get a woman pregnant with that shit. Oh, and he was just that kept talking about his hard dick.
Every time he saw you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, I was laughing my ass off.
It's hilarious.
You know? He was so funny. And so that Honda Accord, we've had it since we've done this podcast and driven thousands of drag queens and guests all around. It's been, God, every...
You could get a woman pregnant with that car. You really could.
You know, we have, like, drag queens from every season of RuPaul's Drag Race and famous drag queens and, you know, humble hometown girls and... A lot of really amazing people rode in that car, and it was a testament to their humility in some ways that this very simple, junky jalopy, they were okay with riding in it and didn't feel like they were going to catch fleas from it. But alas, we visited Mark's mother. And
a drag queen knows they're never too good for anything. That job keeps you humble. That job keeps you humble. You know, a drag queen knows you ain't too good for shit.
The last drag queen that of fame who rode in it was Blair St. Clair, and her management was just kind of like, well, we want to make sure that, like, you know, is it an SUV? Because she'll be traveling with her boyfriend and luggage, and, you know, and they want a certain level of accommodation. And I'm just like, honey, look, this is the same car I picked up Sharon Needles, Michelle Visage, Coco Pru, all these other people in. It's like, she'll be fine. You know, if it's not okay, she can take an Uber here. And like, no, it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want me to send my fingerprints, my STD results? What else do you want to know? Fuck. That's fine.
So our car broke down, and we were desperately trying to save it because, you know,
it's our car.
We don't have a lot of funds or resources, and we were stuck in Canada in a small little town of Brantford, just now a couple hours outside of Toronto.
I think it was probably just an hour outside of Toronto. Really.
You were so close.
You know?
So we
visited Erie, went to Niagara Falls. We'll talk more about this on another podcast, or the other podcast, and then Toronto, and then we're like, Toronto, we're going to go to Detroit on the way home, because we'd never seen Detroit. I wanted to see if it was really like Mad Max times there or not. But the car was just like started overheating, and thankfully we were able to pull like right over, you know, right off the road and right into a garage.
A repair shop.
But alas.
So they did everything they could, and it was not enough. And at 3:55 p.m. on Tuesday, declared dead.
Mm-hmm. They pulled the plug.
So the Feast of Fun Mobile is no more, and we're asking the listeners if you can help us with the down payment of a new used car. You can go to GoFundMe and search Feast of Fun Car. And any amount that you can give us would be greatly appreciated.
We're looking to get a pink Cadillac, but... Looking.
I want a fuel-efficient vehicle, you know? It's like, I want something that gets at least 35 miles per gallon. What is it? MPH. Mm.
Something like that, you know, something more than what we have.
I just
want to
make sure it can go down on the freeway
of love in my pink Cadillac.
Go. Look, her pretending to be excited for those three parts of the song just always made my day, because she was always in the worst mood, but she put a smile on for go.
Well, you know what's funny is like Muffy Fish Basket does a show here in Chicago called Six Queens, One Diva. Okay. So they pull like somebody from one show says who's the diva's going to be for the next show, and I had agreed to do the show. She's like, do you want to be in the next show? I'm like, sure, I'd love to be in the show, you know, doing drag, because I hadn't done, you know, I really have never really hardly ever done lip syncing in drag.
You wanted to get your pussy out.
Yeah, I wanted to get my pussy
done
out
it twice.
You did
before that.
And so the I agreed to it, and then she goes, so who's the diva? And she goes, Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
And so this was last summer, and I'm just like, shit, if I had known it was Aretha, I don't think I would have done it, because, you know, like, most of her stuff is ballads, and like RuPaul says, if you're gonna do ballads, you have to be a drag queen that is well seasoned to pull that stuff out. And Foster's just like, don't worry about it. Just do her cover of what is it?
First I was afraid, I was petrified.
Because it's weird.
Will survive.
So
it's almost un-Aretha like.
It's very un-Aretha. It sounds like Aretha Franklin's voice was engineered by Cher's producer, so it's like sampled and remixed.
Because Cher is Elvis in a different body, which is also its own issue.
Well, with Aretha too, like, this song is like, you feel as like she's just like, I'm just gonna sing this. She probably did it in like one take.
Oh yeah,
she's like, I want this done.
I need
and
money.
Then the other one I did was Freeway of Love.
My
pink Cadillac was my butt.
She dragging the wagon. Okay, if you had to do, what Aretha song would you perform if you had to? If you haven't yet.
Yeah, I feel like I like the Blues Brothers version of Think.
Okay.
It's faster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about energy and pacing, and that would definitely be a lot of fun, and certainly I'm just had all her song lyrics right in front of me.
Mm.
Maybe the one where she sang at the inauguration, and then just me in the middle, be like, "Shut up,
shut up."
But just that part, like, just tell the audience to shut up.
Shut up.
If I had to sing an Aretha Franklin song,
I'm sorry, did I ask you that question?
No, you kept trying to make me sing "Natural Woman," and that I don't like that one.
You don't honestly like that song?
Not particularly. Not
looking
particularly.
Out upon the
morning rain.
Morning rain.
Yes.
What?
That doesn't. Because she's sad when she gets up.
She's depressed.
Yes, yeah.
And then he fucks her in the anus.
I don't think Aretha was into anal. I don't feel like her Christian soul was open to that. Mm. I don't think so. I love "Ain't No Way." That is my favorite Aretha Franklin song.
How's it go?
Ain't no way for me to love you if you don't let me. Something like that. Those are like
that's
the beginning
beautiful.
Of it. Because
see, I knew you could sing.
Ugh.
See, baby, even sinners have souls.
See, because one, she never sang it very well live. It was only good in the studio, which I like. I like, you know, just like it was a one flash in the pan. And Whitney Houston's mother, Sissy, was background vocals on it.
Mm.
So Eartha Kitt's song, Santa Baby, mm-hmm. Hurry Down the Chimney Tonight, is about anal sex. And now that I'm thinking
according
about
to whom?
It, Brian Sweeney said that in the show.
Okay. Well, I
feel like, you know, your chimney.
What's dirty?
Backdoor
it's
Santa.
It's your chimney. Yeah, backdoor Santa.
Okay.
Aretha Franklin. I think, you know, that's a thing with some men like to do it to women is you know, anal so they don't get them pregnant.
I don't think it's that. I think they like to debase
like tight.
No, I just think they like to make her miserable and make it all about them. I think that's really the point.
Because women love anal.
Women don't have prostates. They are lying.
Some women adore anal.
That is an absolute lie.
No, ladies, I know some women that love anal because they say they can get a dick up their butt and then finger their own pussy.
Well, I'm
so
glad they like to multitask.
Aretha Franklin's song, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman,
mm-hmm.
is about
going raw.
It's about raw in the vajayjay.
It is about condomless sex.
Yes.
She actually said that it was about, I can't remember which one of her husbands, but like there was a point in her life, which one ever she was married to, she just like stopped wearing wigs. She stopped wearing makeup and she was just like a fro and a dashiki. And like, she was like her full natural woman in the early 70s. Like, she just looked like herself.
Mm.
She even stopped plucking her eyebrows. She didn't give a shit.
Honey, as long as you got prep, you can be a natural woman too.
I don't think they had that in the 70s for her. They didn't even have AIDS to worry about it.
She you know, when you're a famous entertainer, you can either have the baby or, you know, go to get the hook from the doctor.
Oh yeah, exactly. You always have that option. Tina Turner had one. Like, you don't have to have the kid if you don't want to.
But Aretha Franklin had four.
She, I guess.
And
I
now
guess.
Those four kids are splitting $80 million.
So 20 each. They're fine because they've all got to be at least. They've got to be between 40 and 60.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like, that's lifetime. You're fine. They need no more money.
Just invest it well.
Amen.
You could even, like,
and she may have also been taking these bags of cash and just handing it to her kids for years.
Or, like, know. Joan Rivers hiding cash all over her house. She was probably like that. My grandmother also did that. Just hiding bills just all over shit behind the house.
Really?
It's like a crazy old people thing. It's a crazy old people thing.
Do you hide money in your house? Or
a
it?
Little bit. And I'm not telling you. I remember my grandmother doing that. And Joan Rivers, like, Melissa said she was going through the house and she found, like, $800 in, like, fives and tens and ones just hidden behind shit cleaning out the house.
If you go through Mark Felian's sock drawer, you probably would find about $40 in coins.
Oh yeah, everyone's got the coin Maybe. Jar.
And oh, sometimes
we have to trade that in for that Amazon gift card at the Coinstar.
Oh yes,
honey, we need every penny we can get to get that new car.
Get
new used
but
car.
If you use it with an Amazon, I think you get the full amount.
Exactly.
If you cash out with money, they take like 10%.
Exactly, and you need to give your money to Jeff Bezos. He's poor. He needs a fifth house.
I order some things from Amazon. We actually do have an Amazon wish list. Jesse's food is on there.
Jesse needs
very
to
expensive
eat
food. Look how hungry he is.
Exactly. Skinny now.
Yeah, you are thin. I'm seeing ribs.
Mm-hmm.
she's skinny.
I don't think he ate as much like when we were gone.
He's the ballet dancer here. He's on point. I'm loving the shoes.
Oh, Madonna has responded to the critics slamming her VMA's Aretha tribute.
Breaking news. What she got to say?
CNN breaking news alert.
Yeah, this is important. Yeah. Trump, Manafort. Yeah. Let's hear about
it. Let's get back to Madonna. The real president.
I shared a part of my journey and thanked Aretha for inspiring me along the way. I did not intend to do a tribute to her. That would be impossible in 2 minutes with all the noise and tinsel of an award show. I could never do her justice in this context.
Agreed.
Or environment.
Or in any capacity.
But it did feel like I was on board with Madonna until the last 10 seconds or 30 seconds of her speech. It just, like, at this point, like, you're not even talking about Aretha Franklin at all.
Yeah. That's her thing, though. It's all about her.
You watched it. You lost interest halfway through.
Exactly, because she was just sort of fading, and, like, I don't know. I just kind of... Maybe she forgot where she was, that she was in a theater full of people. Mm-hmm. Maybe she thought she was just privately musing to, like, her assistant. I don't know. I think she forgot herself.
Madonna is so funny when she's not trying to be funny.
Because she, as a human being, is a joke. That's the joy of it all. She is a human fucking being is ridiculous.
That's mean, but no, she kind of reminds, there's an endearing quality to Madonna is that she always wants to be this iconic entertainer and musician, and she is in the eyes of a lot of her fans and friends.
But she's also delusional.
But there's a delusional quality to it. There's this weird Mr. Burns kind of like, why won't they love me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, she's always this impossible goal of loving herself and wanting to be loved because she doesn't she doesn't understand what love is in the first place.
I think she lacks understanding in a lot of places.
She's always trying to heal herself.
And with the Kabbalah and the bracelet. With the Kabbalah and the bracelet, you're an Italian Catholic girl from Michigan, and no, stop it. Absolutely not.
She's trying to, she's like a sociopath who, like, but if Mr. Rogers was a sociopath.
She doesn't want to hurt anybody, she just needs everyone to think she's God, that's all.
She wants to liberate herself and everybody in the world and start a revolution, a love revolution, as long as you're buying her music.
I grew up
and merchandise.
I grew up on Ray of Light and Confessions on a Dance Floor, so, like, I do have a soft spot for Madonna.
I think Ray of Light's probably her best song ever.
One of her best albums.
Especially the fact that they use a car horn as a musical instrument, and when you're driving in your car listening to it, I was like, who the fuck is honking?
You think Ray of Light's better than, like, Virgin and Vogue?
I think Vogue is second. I think Ray of Light's probably, they're neck and neck as one of the greatest songs Madonna's released. And the third up in there is probably, like, Holiday.
I would just say that for, like, the Ray of Light period, like, 1998 was just an amazing year for music, period. I mean...
How do you even remember? How old were you in 1998?
I was born that year. I'm not making a joke. That was the year. That was the year. But, like, if you really look back... Okay, Whitney Houston, My Love Is Your Love, one of her best albums. Celebrity Skin by Hole, amazing album. Ray of Light, Madonna, amazing album. I think that's when Believe by Cher came out and it was in 98.
That's when autotune became acceptable.
Yeah, like, 98, like, the late 90s. This was amazing time for pop music.
And we want to thank everybody for listening to our tribute of Aretha Franklin.
Yes. That was about Madonna.
Just like Madonna's tribute.
Because, Aretha was 72 and she died like a virgin. That was the whole point. That was the whole thing.
Had four kids. She was no virgin.
The hymen grows back. She's fine. She's fine.
She's now eating a sweet Pizza Hut, Meat Lover's Pizza in Heaven. The salad buffet is always stocked full, and all the pizza is full of toppings, and she's getting unlimited breadsticks.
Oh, yes. She is eating a pork chop sandwich, and she is playing the piano, and her wig is freshly curled. She is in heaven, and she is feeling it. She's feeling it.
Matt Brown, you always bring us up when we're feeling down.
I do my best to change lives and help the sick. That's really what I do. I'm full of shit.
Who's paying you to perform these days?
Oh, honey, we'll have to check the old schedule because I don't know. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. My phone knows where I'm supposed to be because I am a messy bitch.
You're like
bitch.
The Amanda Lepore if she was a twink.
I
Amanda Lepore at one point in time presented as a twink. twink.
I'm sure when she was like 11,
yeah,
like just really trying to figure it out in New Jersey.
Assigned male at birth, you know,
with just big lips and a dream.
She and her brain formed that shape. It was like Lawnmower Man. You saw that movie?
No.
Where Pierce Brosnan plays a scientist who finds a simple gardener, and through genetic engineering and science and virtual reality experiments, trains Ooh. Him to become a god. And then he takes Fabulous. Over humanity and destroys the world.
Pierce Brosnan's like 65, and I would still fuck the man. He still looks amazing.
He's a hot daddy.
He still looks really good. Okay, so shows that I have coming up. On Thursday night, yes. August 23rd, probably the day you're going to end up posting this, I'm going to be doing a show called Tuxedo Cat on Saturday Ooh,
that
night.
That sounds fun.
Oh, yes. On Saturday night, I'm going to be doing a debate show called Arguments and Grievances at North Bar on August 25th. The 27th, I'm going to be doing another debate show called Master Debaters at Comedy Bar.
Wow.
And on
that sounds like the best bet there.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a ton of fun.
Because you're good at bullshitting.
I'm good at bullshitting. It's all improvised debate. I'll just yell at strangers. I love yelling at drunk people.
Do you usually win those?
Yeah. I'm very humble and sweet
You're
as well.
You're a formidable opponent.
I do my best. I do my best. Mm. On August 31st, I'm going to be at IO Chicago doing a show called Preach. And on September 2nd, I'm going to be at Bar 63 doing a show called Roger That. You can see all my stuff at Matt Brown Comic on Twitter and Instagram and MattBrownComic.com. So come see what's happening.
Awesome.
What it is, what's up, as Aretha Franklin would say.
And I'll be at Amber O'Mary's at Mary's Attic on August 27th at 7 o'clock. You can see the premiere episode of Alt for Norge.
Yes, the great Norway adventure.
You can see me competing against 11 other Americans of Norwegian descent for the crown.
For Norway's next superstar.
We're competing for $50,000.
But why compete with anything when you can be a star already? Mm-hmm. Come see me. You can watch me on... what's the name of the show? Camp Wanakiki. Episode 3, Squirrel Friends. I'm a reality TV judge serving up very loving but harsh and cruel commentary on drag
and
queens.
And pretending to be drunk, which is always fun.
And you can see me perform. I'm going to be at Hamburger Mary's this Sunday for the Episode 4 viewing party. I'm going to be dressed up as the bear. Aww. And doing my tribute to Gilda Radner, so check that out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please tell me you're going to be doing the teacher, Mrs. Latella.
I'm doing Let's Talk Dirty to the Animals.
The animal. Ooh. Fuck you, Mr. Rooster. Puss
Eat
off,
shit.
Mr. Bear. Yeah. Oh, I love Gilda Radner.
If they don't love it, they can shove it. Frankly, I don't care. So, the Queen of Soul, honey, she is alive in your hearts. Remember, Aretha Franklin may have evolved into the new plane, but we have to be Aretha Franklin now.
We do now, and we have to keep our eyes on Diana Ross and Patti LaBelle like a fucking hawk, because if they go, it's all over. It's all over.
Honey, it's like, there will always be a new diva.
No, there will not. What's Ariana Grande going to do to impress me? Not a damn thing.
Yeah, Azalea Banks.
Oh, really? Oh, really? I don't think so.
They don't make them beats like they used to.
They don't. There's no real singing like there used to be once upon a time.
What are we going to do when the divas are expanded?
We just have to grow new divas. We're gay men.
Off
we'll
a tree.
Create new ones.
Yeah, we'll just GMO them.
Mm-hmm. Farm your own diva.
I will grow a plot in my backyard.
Mm. Matt Brown, we love you. We got to return this car back to the dealership. Folks, if you want to help us get a new car, go to feastoffun.com on today's show or GoFundMe/feastoffuncar and you can help us get a new Feast of Fun mobile so we can cart drag queens around and our guests.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Brown, Matt Brown Comic?
MattBrownComic.com.
It's always a good time with you. We don't spend enough time together.
Come back soon.
We can reach out and touch somebody's hand after the show.
Wow. Oh. Wow. Well, all right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.